Okay, thank you. I want to get some reaction from the panel. What are some of the things that you all take from some of the WhatsApp messages and from the last call?
Well, Corey, as we're talking about communications and me being perhaps the only expert here at the panel as it relates to the profession of communication, I want to say this. What we saw as it relates to the launch, what we saw as it relates to the social media, all of that really is the end product. Now, I can reverse engineer the BLP strategy without having been a part of their camp and see that this was something that was years in the making. It was not anything that happened overnight.
No.
It was years in the making. One of the other things that I notice, especially as it relates to the way how they are commenting on particular issues, even I heard the RSPCA was mentioned by the Prime Minister at one point in time. It is clear that during the 5-year period leading up to the election, maybe not the entire period, but it's clear that the Barbados Labour Party engaged not only via social media, but perhaps in face-to-face meetings with key stakeholder groups and on a regular basis to garner critical information that then would have informed things like manifesto, that would inform things like even the portfolios that were created post-election. So the lesson really for the future political party participants in the elections to come is that you really have to pay attention to your stakeholders, whoever they are, find them and engage them with substance and take on what they suggest. So that is what I've observed.
I can touch. Party and jump and clap and hooray for that. I, as a younger person, use the word infamous, not obviously in a negative aspect, and somebody.
So it was basically taken out of context.
Yeah.
Correct.
Basically.
All right, Roshana, and then Simon.
Someone spoke about demanding high standards. And I think that is so important in moving forward and also looking back at the past election. One is that the past election showed that Barbadians felt as if the standard that was being given to them was not high enough. And as such, they decided that it was time to seek higher ground. But also in moving forward, there has to be, as citizens, we have to set our sights on higher standards, demand more from our political leaders as it relates to the level and the standard in which they conduct themselves. Somebody standing saying, I will cuss you about your mother and your father and your grandmother, I mean, your dog in yard. Those are not things that I want from my political leader. I want you to set a standard for me, set a standard for the country. When we examine what the country, a political leader should represent the things that Barbados is, because within your actions, I see your philosophy. And in doing so, the discussion about corruption really has to come to the fore. And how do we counteract corruption? Integrity is, it might be, as the Prime Minister said, impossible to legislate integrity, but you can ensure that persons who fail to act in a manner befitting someone who takes political office and has access to the funds of the Barbadian purse can be called to account for what they have done, whether or not that money is lost. And a lot of times we don't recognize how corruption trickles down and how it impacts young people or how it impacts Barbados.
Right.
Because the money that is lost to corruption can go towards social programs. That money can be given to youth organizations to do programs that assist young people.
Like the summer camps.
True. That money can be used to better ordinary Barbadians who are feeling the strain of taxation through welfare programs. And I think as Barbadians, May 24th was not the end, because we have to continue to socially audit our politicians, perhaps in the absence of a legitimate opposition, being that Barbadians did not, through their vote, appoint an opposition. But so I think that we need to continue to advocate for the higher standards that we demand and that we see and that we would have said that we wanted following May 24th.
Yeah, I wanted to chime in with regards to what Crystal said about the campaign. And it was clear that the Barbados Labour Party campaign was years in planning, and it was executed well and across all social media platforms and media platforms. And for any political party that wants to survive in the 21st century, you need to have a functioning social media platform. social media team. Going back to the whole issue of corruption, I think that is something that we have to look at and constantly ensure that our political leaders know that they will be held accountable for their actions. I remember at one point there was a discussion about the recall of certain members of parliament, where it's a situation where if your constituents no longer have the confidence in you, there should be a system in place where as an MP you could be recalled. So I think that's something that needs to be looked at going forward. The other thing I also wanted to mention too is the fact that civil servants have a role to play in politics. And I know there was this whole big issue when I spoke on the political platform and so on, but let's be real. You can't assume that because a person is a civil servant that they don't necessarily have a political future or interest in politics. And I think that's something that we need to look at with regards to legislation and so on. Or if something needs to be changed, that is something that needs to be highlighted. Because I'm quite sure I'm not the only person that is a civil servant who has a desire to represent a constituency in the political landscape.
All right, we're going to go to the telephone lines and get some WhatsApps and get the panel in again. So let's say good afternoon and welcome to our next caller. You're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes, please. I just wanted to give my 2 cents worth and basically shout out our appreciation to Kev's politics. He was all on social media and he really helped the young people on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram. And me personally, he had the latest and it was so easy to find. It was honestly really helpful for us on the younger platform to be able to keep up to date with elections and politics, etc.
All right.
You sound pretty. Yeah. How old are you?
I'm 17, yes, please.
Okay. Wow. Nice.
I'm listening to Brass Stacks. Impressive. I can tell you at 17, I did not even know they had a thing named Brass Stacks.
Yeah.
Well, thank you and stay tuned. You know, keep in tune with your
country. Congratulations.
We are proud of you. I want to read some of these WhatsApps and then get some reaction to a lot of interesting things. We have our Miss Undecided, a very special and dear, she was a special and dear caller. She's now a special and dear WhatsApper. She says, well, I'll read some of it. It says, where do I start? She says, Corey, you're smart with your select group guests. I'm not listening anymore. Of course, that was at 11:15. At 12 past 12, she said, caller, you could really go along and take your taxes. You're selling your soul for votes and always talking about slavery. What is this? Corey, you're blowing. You aren't blowing yet. Vote buying really worked. All the talk, the buyers got through to the human soul for a few dollars on that day. To be truthful, elections gone. Guests, tell Barbados your solutions to help the country. This looking back at election is not working now for the country. We waiting on the IMF to come out with the damage now. I am just asking questions, so from now we will be eating grass. Good morning and have a good day to you, Miss Undecided. This one says, hi everyone, let me all the young and new persons who put themselves forward, let all the new persons and young persons who put themselves forward for the last election. It says that our future is bright. Thanks for the bravery, and I heard lots of positive things about you, Crystal. Please don't quit. This one is saying, in my opinion, third parties fail to consolidate. A year from 2018 election, they should campaign and consolidate force with the new DLP, in my opinion. Ego doesn't allow for such. However, and I write this one ready. It says, I am wondering, however, Corey, are people saying that young people are really easily influenced, though? And when I come out to the panel, I definitely want to get some take on that. This one says, good afternoon, Corey. I hope that the standpipe and crocus by behavior is over in the House of Assembly now. It should be. I don't think they have anybody to argue with. So that should be it. This one, I like this one. This one says, good afternoon, Corey. I cannot even go and cook my food right now until this program is over. I'm very impressed with the ladies. Miss Trim just nailed it. I told Crystal my piece when I approached her Sunday night. I am 57, but extremely delighted in what I am hearing. I also like this one. It says, good afternoon to the panel. I'm pleased to hear these exemplary young people represent other young people like myself amidst opposition and lack of resources. We do need more platforms like these to give young people a voice and resources to create platforms necessarily to effectively convey our opinions. So thanks to you, Corey and team. To the panel, what is your vision going forward for young people and the youth organizations like said United Youth Leaders of Barbados? Now, it's not all roses. There are some thorns among some of the comments. They says, hi, Corey. Only BLP supporters will love this program because they are all still gloating. But I want you to explain to me what I'm supposed to gain from this program. What they should be speaking about is how the added taxes and the bitter pill given by the BLP would affect them. Other than that, this program is a waste of time.
Well,
you must take the thorns with the roses, my people. let me throw one or two more in there because there's lots of things they want y'all to talk about. So, Ms. Celia, at this moment, you should take this opportunity and those youth in the studio to come up with ideas and plans that take the young children who are coming off of vacation that has no summer camp to attend, and the parents have to find money and some don't have money to pay for them. Rather than reviewing such and think about the lawlessness that the children might get under and influenced by some wicked adults. This last one. This one says, for Kimar Stewart, I think he's right and all parties have to start somewhere and all groupings should be encouraged to jump in the race. This is the hallmark of a vibrant democracy. Corey, I feel that you should get the panel to give their views on what they anticipate will happen in Barbados in the short, medium, and long term. What are their fears of an IMF program? What would they like to see happening going forward? In terms of governance, fiscal and economic development, constitutional reform, social issues, etc. I think that's a different program where we have all the rest of the 5 years to talk about, but we just wanted to do a review though. That doesn't take away from anything y'all want to answer that any of the callers or any of these WhatsApps spoke to. So we start with you, Crystal.
Yes, I want to respond to the question about what next. I know we're doing the postmortem of the election, but certainly during the election, one of the philosophies that I adopted was to ensure that any programs or initiatives that I started during the election would outlive the election. For the simple reason that if you're going to be involved in politics, you really must have your heart in it and you must put people at the center. It can't only be about climaxing on the election day and feeling sweet and then going back to your regular life, you know, regular programming. So one of the programs that I launched during the election was restarted was the Homework Club in Haynesville. We're in the young people after school, a lot of them waiting on mommy and daddy to come home. Work finishes at 5 and mommy's school finishes at 3. So the Homework Club is in that time window or in that time frame to allow them to get that support with the assignments that they have from school. And this is primary and secondary school kids. And we were able to do that restart of the program through the kind funding of the Sandy Lane Charitable Trust. And I want to also highlight some angel supporters who do not want to be mentioned anywhere, but they would have donated. For example, one lady gave me 100 exercise books with the Haynesville Youth Club logo on it. And then another lady donated Benko past papers so that those doing the 11 plus next year are able to start their preparation from the day after the 11 plus this year. So that really touched my heart. And it really goes to show that we as young people, if we would rally our own passions and put forward good ideas, that people will come forward and support the programs. Another program that I launched in Haynesville as well to target what I consider to be the at-risk youth group between 15 and 25 is something called Treetop Talks, which I liken to the TED Talks model. So every week we have someone come in and speaking. Up to last night, we would have had our fifth speaker, Everton Haru-Holligan, who ran on the UPP ticket as well. And he spoke about health. His topic was eat to live. Don't eat to live. What is it? Don't live to eat, eat to live. Correct. So each week we would have had persons like Lisa Gale, who's hailing from Haynesville as well, to come and show these young people, well, look, you know, you're from a neighborhood that has a stigma attached to it, but you can reach national regional and international acclaim in whatever area you decide to follow. And Corey, you know, it hurts my heart that a number of them don't even have a goal or a dream that they're working towards. In terms of moving forward, for me, for sure, I'm all about being a youth advocate and ensuring that resources are allocated toward those in my constituency to make sure that they continue to reach for their true potential.
Definitely. Simon, they want to put something, Simon. And Travis, I need to hear you in quite a little way. This one says, I agree with you, Simon, but the rules are the rules until they are changed, and you blatantly violated them. This is in relation to you appearing on the thing. So this is from Olatunde. He doesn't have his mouth.
That's fine, man. That's cool. Mm-hmm. Right, so my views?
Yes, please.
Right, my views still remain the same, because at the end of the day, we have persons in the civil service who desire to or aspire to political office. And I understand that the rules are the rules, but sometimes you have to take a stand. And I took a stand because I believed that my cause with regards to the Democrat Labour Party was a righteous cause. Now, for me going forward, I know you were asking all the panelists going forward what young people need to do. One of the things that I need to do personally, and of course, within the Democrat Labour Party, is assist in the renewal and the revival of the Democrat Labour Party. And, of course, the change and the evolution of it. Because, obviously, the old Democrat Labour Party has to cease to exist. We can't go forward like how we were before. We have to go forward differently. And I know that there are a lot of persons out there listening to the program who can't necessarily voice their support for the Democrat Labour Party, but they are strong supporters. We have a big support base out there. And people are anxious to see how the Democratic Labour Party will evolve now. I just want to assure people that we want to take the party forward, and we want to make sure that it's a viable option going forward to the next election, for real.
I want to read this one for you, and then Travis, I want to hear from you and any of the panelists as we head towards quarter after one. This one says, good afternoon, panel. Youth involvement in the political process is great. Mr. Aline's call for the reevaluation of the rules which govern political involvement in politics is timely. The civil service is at the center of politics in Barbados, and to restrict civil servant in such a way is token, since there is deep political involvement by the civil servants at all levels. It must be regulated rather than restricted. Asking a civil servant to resign is not on. So you have some support out there, Mr. Aline.
There's a lot of support out there.
Yes.
There's a lot of support out there because obviously you even have people who are now in office that were once civil servants. Mm-hmm. So clearly there needs to be a review. Clearly. well, that's common knowledge.
Yes. Travis, let's hear from you.
So I noticed some tips from your WhatsApp. One of the questions were, what can the DLP supporters gain from this overview? Realistically speaking, the overview again is not to rub salt in the wound, but rather to get the youth perspective on where the Democratic Labour Party and other parties would have missed the mark as far as, you know, young people go. Because it's all fine and good to approach it from a top-down perspective, but it's still good to understand in coming election, this is where you would have to go in order to get our attention and maybe even appeal to the youth populace for that particular section of your vote. There was another question for visions going forward for youth engagement. And Simon, you would have mentioned something before talking about the right young person for representation. Mm-hmm. And the real question is, what is the right young person? Because you can take an at-risk youth, they can become transformed and represent what they stand for. But if you don't have somebody to believe in them and encourage them, work with them, how are they supposed to go through that transformation and become someone else that, well, not someone else, but somebody who's able to represent not only themselves, but the youth populace?
Yes.
So it might have to look at, not necessarily, I want to say, you know, discouraging youth, but you need to encourage them, create safe spaces for young people. So that you understand what they're coming from and what they need, because at the end of the day, this is our country
yes.
in the long run.
I don't know. That's another question. I was finished. So for my two cents, just to close, because I think we're winding down. I think it's important for us to know that the saying by George Santayana, and he said that those who do not learn history are doomed to repeat it. So I think that evaluating something, any activity that takes place, any endeavor that you undergo, is vital so that you can see where you went wrong, what you did correctly, and how do you improve and take the next step. As it relates to youth organization, it's been said several times, there were several hats, particularly as a youth advocate. And I'm glad Roshana from United Nations of Barbados would have sent the comment about how do we address or how do we assist or what are the steps to going forward as it relates to young people. Mm-hmm. And the truth is that youth organization, for me as a youth advocate, as the head of the BYDC, one of the things we've been advocating for in recent times would be safe spaces for young people. Mm-hmm. Crystal, hearing about Treetop Talks, that's amazing because that gives young people the space where they can actively engage and be engaged in conversation. Mm-hmm. And I think that is vital going forward, having radio programs for young people by young people, mm-hmm. television programs for young people by young people, having young people having young people mentor and be mentor where they find positive role models in their communities and engaging young people at every stage of the process. So if we're going to talk about anything, then a young person should be on the committee. And that is really what I am looking forward to. Having seen the Youth Manifesto, the National Youth Mentorship Program being offered, the First Jobs Initiative, the thought that all young people will learn how to swim, I cannot swim. But I'm so grateful that other persons will be able to take up the opportunity, speaking multiple, being bilingual, digitally savvy, those things. So what I see as my role now is not only to facilitate youth projects and service projects or encourage and engage young people, but to advocate actively for the things that I view as vital and my generation views as vital by doing engagement and community programs, but also to look at the Youth Manifesto, see how I can assist, and also ensure that those things are that were not promised but given as assurances to young people are either realized or that we understand what would have caused them to not come to fruition and how we as a country can work towards bringing those things to fruition for the betterment of the youth generation.
But my ending part of this is that, again, I keep hearing from the WhatsAppers and on Facebook that they want us to, what is our views on in terms of young people going forward? You're in a room with a bunch of young people that are already doing. Mm-hmm. And that's a fundamental challenge I find.
And there are many out there that are doing.
There are many out there that are doing. The problem with the last administration is that they did not want to incorporate us, nor they did not want to do anything with us as youth. Mm-hmm. You have an administration now that is willing to work with the youth that are already doing. Then the Barbadian public will see the benefit of youth and how smart youth are and how intellectual we are and how beneficial we are to the advancement of the country. So it isn't that people keep talking about, I want to hear what the youth can do it. Look at Coralie, look at Timor Safri, look, we are already doing.
True.
But our government now has to be able to incorporate us on boards, has to be enable us to come to meetings,
mm-hmm.
and take our ideas and go forward with them. So I would like people to stop the foolish talk about how they want to hear. Just look at our work. It proves itself, and it has been proving itself for years.
Follow us on social media.
quick question, Crystal, though. In terms of the third parties going forward, we're talking about amalgamating, using them. We're talking about where. What do you see as the future for the third parties? So that's one of the questions I had down here. We didn't get an answer. We're really on the home stretch. Where do you see the future for third parties?
Well, when I was on my way here, I heard one of the points made. I think it was Kimora Stewart who was talking about the financing for the third parties. I believe that unless we rectify that imbalance, third parties will continue to be marginalized and get between the 1% and 4% that they would have garnered in the last election. And that was one of the reasons that actually motivated me to join the UPP, because the party leader, Lynette Eastman, she would have spoken on the radio about the need for a look at more than a cursory look at party financing. And she also spoke against vote buying. So I personally believe that there is room for other voices. When you look at places like New Zealand and Iceland, you know, you have all these coalitions being formed, and say what you want about the coalitions, there's the downside of them taking long to form or whatever. But
so is there saying crowdfunding for third parties, maybe something you need to look at, crowdfunding.
Crowdfunding speaks to being able to set up those accounts in Barbados right now. That's a whole other program in terms of raising funds online. Yeah, but for sure, financing will be a major challenge. I don't think attracting talent will be a challenge if there is good financing.
I like what I'm hearing. One of the things that Roshana spoke to that I like is after the euphoria of the election, I was thinking that nobody wanted or thought they could criticize. But I think that people are going to hold this government to the standards. People are already talking about the appointments, the trust, the locking up of people. And I think that this government and the last election saying that, I think, you know, some of these election culture evolve. No, there's been fundamental and radical change. Vote buying, cursing of people, and not holding to your promises will no longer be tolerated. Yeah. So if you all do the same thing, you're going to be looking for jobs 5 years from now. I can close with this one. Right. Good day, Corey and panel. It would be remiss of me not to leave the kitchen to send this message. Congratulations to everyone for a wonderful program. It leaves me satisfied that our country will be in good hands with the young people who I am listening to today. And I must thank Williams Industries Incorporated for making this possible. Of course, the producer and technical operator, Dennis Johnson, Kimar Stewart, Crystal Austin, Kimar Safri, Travis Gardner, Roshana Trim, and I've been your host and moderator, Corey Lane. Do enjoy the rest of your Sunday evening laying out.